You're listening to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. It's the best kind of gossip on demand every week. Girl talk, no filter. Here's your sis, Alessandra G.
Welcome back to That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Thank you for tuning in to another special segment of Friday Features. This podcast is kindly sponsored by DistroKid. If you're an artist, producer, you name it, you need to join DistroKid. They will distribute your music to all of the streaming platforms out there, and I mean all of them. Plus, you'll make all of your money from streaming. Yep, they do not take a cut. Want your artist page verified on Spotify? DistroKid has got you covered. They also have tools to help you promote your release and gain new listeners. What more could you ask for? Be sure to use my code for 7% off your first year's membership, distrokid.com/VIP/alwaysalessandra. That link is also in my link tree and the description of this episode. Why wouldn't you want DistroKid, guys? It's a no-brainer. Go check it out. Today, we have the one and only Delaney Jane. She's opening up about dream collaborations, her latest EP, Somewhere Else, and so much more. This is an exclusive Friday feature.
Welcome to Friday Features. Get to know your favorite artists, influencers, and musicians exclusively on That's the Tea with Alessandra G.
Hey, Delaney, how's it going?
I'm great, thanks. How are you doing?
I'm pretty good, you know. I saw some sun. I think I still see some sun, if I'm not wrong. So hopefully we're moving in the right direction, but how is everything where you're at?
I mean, I cannot complain. I'm in sunny California and it's been beautiful. We've had back-to-back sunshine up to 30 degrees Celsius, not to make you feel bad. You're on the road to summer.
Yeah, you know, that's true. You can't really make me feel that bad though, because I don't know Celsius, so I don't even know what that is.
Oh my God.
So, I mean, my friend told me yesterday LA was like in the 80s. I mean, I guess maybe that's
it's
what
probably
you mean.
Equivalent. Yeah, I bet you 30 degrees Celsius is probably the equivalent to 80 degrees Fahrenheit.
Okay, there you go. Some math for everybody.
There we go.
I never quite understood that, because 30 degrees Fahrenheit, I would be freezing my ass off. So I don't know, but that sounds good. Thanks for coming on today and chatting with me about your music and everything you got going on, because there's a ton of stuff right now. And I know you've been releasing new music this year. I feel like I'm seeing some patterns when it comes to artwork on these singles and stuff. So I'm sure that means that a larger project is coming. Can you say anything about that, or what's going on there?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me. And the last year and a year and a half has been a wild ride. After putting out my first album in 2019, which was kind of on the heavier side, to be expected. It was the first album that I ever released, and it was pretty much the story of my life so far, packed into 13 songs. So coming off of that, I really wanted to kind of switch gears a little bit and put out some music that was a bit more fun, a bit more upbeat, and so that's where my EP, it's called Somewhere Else, kind of came to life last year. And since then, you know, we've all been in and out of lockdown for the last year. Our tour has been canceled. My shows this year so far have been postponed as well. So, you know, as much as that side of things is, it sucks, to be honest, it's given me a lot of time, and I think a lot of artists a lot of time to really work on our music. And so I'm so excited about this next chapter. I don't know if I can say yet what kind of body of work I'm putting out, but I can say that the music that I've been making is probably the music that I'm the most excited about in my entire career. And, you know, as life goes on and life changes, like, my stories continue, because I will always write about my life.
Yeah, for sure. And you're right. There has been so much going on just in the world in the past 2 years, but also in all of our lives. So, you know, the music, I feel like, is going to be so much better for everyone. I mean, the fans, the listeners, and the artists, because I mean, there's a shit ton to write about and talk about.
Yeah.
And I know you mentioned somewhere else, the EP, and I do want to chat about that a little bit because you released it in 2020. There was a lot going on last year. And with that, you gave people something to listen to and relate to and enjoy during a period of, I don't know, chaos. So my favorite track on the EP is Just As Much with Virginia to Vegas. I think.
Oh, thank you so much.
Yeah, of course. I think it's definitely a standout and also just something that, you know, I've left on my playlist for a really long time. I do like monthly playlists. It's very rare that a song will carry from like 1 month to the next, but specifically 1 month to like 6 months down the line. And I feel like I'm just continuously dragging that song into the March playlist and the April playlist. And I'm like, when is a song going to just like kind of transition out? Yeah. And the answer is, I don't know.
Damn. Thank you. That means a lot because, I mean, we all know what it's like to hear the same song over and over again on the radio. And, you know, the one that pops to my head instantly, even though I'm still like, it's one of those songs you like, you love to hate and you hate to love. It's like, so call me maybe. It's like, we all heard that song to the death. But I'm not gonna lie, like if it came on right now, I'd probably be like singing and dancing to it, and then I like slap myself in the face like, no, this is so overplayed. But you know, we all know what that's like, so it means a lot. After I actually just shot the music video over a month ago, and I approved the final today, whoop whoop, which is so exciting. And that was such a crazy process because Virginia to Vegas was in Canada and I, you know, have been in LA, so we had to shoot our parts remotely. So the video is cool how it all kind of interweaves with one another. But you know, after the day of shooting, I always think like, okay, if I'm sick of this song by the end of the day, then I'm guessing people will probably get sick of it quick. And by the end of the day, I was not sick of it. And that alone is rare because nobody really likes listening to their own voice. So I really appreciate it because we did something right there.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's funny that you mentioned Call Me Maybe because, oh my God, when that song first came out, I loved it at first and you said the radio killed it. Now it's weird because usually those songs that the radio kill, like, I'm sorry, Closer, Chainsmokers,
yep,
everyone knows it. Like, I can't listen to it. And with Call Me Maybe, I still find it on so many like throwback playlists. And if I'm at a party and like, it comes on, everyone wants to like drop dead on the floor. And I'm like the one person like, guys, this is a bop. Like, I'm sorry, but I can't retire it. So
yeah.
I don't know why. It's like, I want to hate it again, but I guess after I avoided it like the plague for so many years, it doesn't bother me anymore. I mean,
exactly.
Even the other song, I Really Like You or whatever, like it's so catchy. Like, she's just a genius in that way where it's like, she knows it's getting in your head. She knows it's going to piss you off.
Totally.
And she's sitting back and counting bills. So I'm like, you know what, girl? Get your bag. I get it. Like, it's good. It's
exactly.
You can't argue too with it.
Mm-hmm.
So I love Just As Much. I, you know, I've been a fan of Virginia to Vegas. And when I saw that collaboration, I was like, this is going to be sick. Like, let me check it out. You'll sing it in your head for a while and then you're like, I gotta listen to it again. What would you say was the most difficult song to record on Somewhere Else, the EP, when you look back at that whole, you know, recording process and everything like that?
Oof. This is actually a really easy answer because it came to me right away. The song On Paper was by far the most difficult song to not only write but record. It was, wow, if we go back to that time in my life, I wrote this song before 2020, probably 2018 or 2019, in a writing camp session here in LA. And during that time, you know, I'd been in a long-term relationship for almost 4 years, and I just had this weird intuitive feeling like something wasn't right. And it was the hardest thing to come to terms with because this person I was with was so good to me, such a, you know, kind man, and literally would have done anything in the world for me, but there was just something missing. And, you know, I couldn't really put my finger on it. It was more of like a feeling. And I think, you know, from ever since I put that song out and other people have reached out to me about being in similar situations, you know, it comes down to really having to trust your gut and listen to your intuition. What was even more challenging about, you know, writing and recording on paper is that the person I was dating at the time also happened to be my producer and still is to this day, because we are best friends and always will be. But the transition period between me moving to LA, me putting the song out, having to finish it, and him knowing that it was about him, like I can't even imagine what it would have been like to be in his position. But all I can say is he's the strongest person I know. So yeah, I don't think many people have had to go through that before, but that was a very emotional roller coaster of a ride.
Oh my God. I'm shocked right now.
A lot of layers I just dished on you.
I don't even, oh my God. If I had to be in the same room as an ex, let alone be like, yo, I wrote this about you, can you work on it so I can, you know, put it out and share with the world? Yeah, I don't know if I could do that. I would probably either be laughing or crying. I'm not sure which one. Probably both.
Yeah, exactly. A little bit of both.
So, I mean, you guys are both really mature to be able to go through with that, because I mean, I'm speechless. The fact that he was just like, yeah, sure, like, let me do this. Listening to that song, people will be like, yeah, I relate, but no one's going to be like, oh, the ex that this is about produced it. That's common knowledge. Like, no, that's something no one probably, or very few people know. But like, good for you guys that you're still really good friends.
Thank you. When it comes to
like relationships and stuff like that, like, I find that it's very rare that people can just honestly move forward and be friends and kind of like support each other and it's not toxic. But when it does happen, it's like, you got to respect it. I find myself talking about TikTok like way too much, but you know, there's nothing seriously going on in the world still. I feel like, I mean, I got to get back out to shows, like concerts, like can we do some more award shows, stuff like that, because I don't know why I'm following all this like TikTok drama, and you know, I just see all the shit that they're going through with like their relationships, and I'm like, man, if I was 18 and having like all of my dirty laundry aired to the world on like a TMZ like platform specifically for TikTok, I would be so embarrassed. And I'm just happy that TikTok was not around when I was in high school, or like whatever, how old they are, because it's rough. It's just, everything is so messy. So it's nice to hear about something that isn't toxic. I support that.
Thank you. I think it's, I don't know. I think we need to try to get to a place where we can start to normalize exes being friends. And of course, that is not going to be the case for every relationship. You know, there are some relationships that truly are toxic, and I've experienced those as well. And that's not to say that we, you know, my ex and I were able to like split up and there was no drama. You know, there were a couple months of hell, and there were a couple months where I thought I was, you know, fine. I had met someone else. I was really happy. But then, you know, memories can just hit you like a wave, and you really just have to let yourself go through the process, and you can't try and put up walls and barriers and, you know, try and protect yourself. You have to let yourself feel it, you know, let that shit flow through you. And it's the only way you can really move on to the other side. But luckily, because we were best friends for 3 years before we ever started dating, and, you know, we were making music together from the very beginning of my professional career, it's like we kind of just transitioned back to that. Whereas I know it's different when you meet someone and you have, you know, an instant physical attraction, and maybe you hook up the first night you meet, and it's totally different, because I have experienced both, but it's a very different kind of process and relationship when you're friends first. It's grounded in this unconditional love and trust. Yeah, I think that's the goal for every good relationship, is, you know, is having, knowing you've got your best friend who's got your back all the time. But yeah, I'm lucky. I'm very, very lucky that we're still not only amicable, but like making smash songs together, and he's producing my entire next body of work. Like, it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think because of like the fact that it's not normalized, you got to know what you're getting yourself into. And sometimes people don't, but I've seen it all play out. I've seen a lot of shit play out. And It really just does depend. So yeah, it's good. But, you know, speaking of other people, we got to talk about collaborations. So obviously, Virginia to Vegas was something that you had on the last EP, and that was the one collaboration. The rest was kind of focusing on you, which I prefer in like the early years of, you know, an artist's career. I want to hear them more than like a crap ton of collaborations, because then I feel like I don't know exactly what their sound is or what's going on. I like that it was just like one collaboration. But now going forward, so like fans and listeners have gotten to know you and kind of a little bit of your backstory through your lyrics and stuff like that. Who would you like to collaborate with in the future? And like, no one's off, you know, the table. Like, I know a lot of people are like, oh, I'd love to work with so-and-so, but that would never happen. But like, just in your dream world.
Man, I'll start with songwriting. On a strictly songwriting basis, I would absolutely love to write with Julian Michaels. On my upcoming body of work, I actually am singing a song that she co-wrote, which is incredible that it got handed to me. But I just think her writing is unlike anything I've ever heard. She has a way of telling story in such a conversational and real way that it doesn't sound like she's even singing. It sounds like she's speaking melodically. So I would love to write with her. As far as collaborations go, oh my gosh, my big bucket list collab would be Drake, because we're both from Toronto, and I mean, I love everything he puts out, and you know, he's grown so much as an artist from when he first started to where he is now. And then on a more kind of acoustic-y emotional duet side, I would really love to do a duet with JP Sachs. And him and I were talking a couple years ago. So maybe that's definitely a conversation I would love to rehash and see where he's at. But I have a couple other collaborations in the works right now. Planning on doing another collab with Call Me Charisma. Our video for Hello My Loneliness, the song we put out together on my first album, just hit over 1 million views, which is so cool. And when that happened, we're both like, wait, why don't we do another one together? So that's in the works. I'm also talking to actually country pop artist named Chase Wright, who has an amazing voice. I will admit, I'm not the biggest country music fan, but I totally can appreciate it. And I am a huge fan of some country artists, like sucker for Keith Urban all day. But what I love about Chase is he has this, I don't know, this just really cool pop vibe with a, you know, country influence. Yeah, I don't even know if I was supposed to talk about that one, but there you go. Little tidbits of what's happening.
Yeah, that's awesome. And he had a little bit of drama actually on The Bachelor, which is really funny. So
was he on The Bachelor?
So he performed on The Bachelor, and one of his, like, I don't know if they were exes or they just like hooked up one night. It's still kind of unclear. She was a contestant on it. And of course, the producers planned it out so that he was performing on her one-on-one date. So it was really awkward for them. And it's just a really like standout scene because it's just so overproduced. And I felt bad for the guy because he was just trying to get his music out there. And I'm like, oh yeah, there's Chase. And then this bombshell hits and I'm like, damn, this poor guy.
Man, that is so wow. Like, and that, I guess obviously he didn't know that was going to happen either.
No, yeah, both of them were caught off guard, and I was like, what the hell's going on here?
Oh, the things they do for the reviews, the ratings.
This poor guy is just trying to promote his single, like, let the man sing. So he's awesome, though, great voice. That's going to be amazing. So that's super exciting. But JP, I talked to before his song with Julia Michaels was out, and he's a really down-to-earth guy, as you probably know. And so
yeah.
I was excited for him, though, when that took off. I have spoken to Julia as well, and she is a genius when it comes to lyrics. And there is so much that I think she can teach, like, every single person in the music industry, because some of the things that she's written, like, I don't even know that she wrote them until I start digging into them. And I'm like, what the hell? She wrote this one too.
Selena Gomez tracks.
Oh, yeah. They're like best friends. The freaking 50 Shades of Grey soundtrack. I'm like, calm down, girl.
You know what I just realized? This is so, like, this was not even on purpose. I just realized that JP Sachs and Julia Michaels are dating. That's just so crazy that...
Wait, I think you actually just broke this news to me. I don't even think I knew that.
Oh my gosh, yeah. After they wrote the song, If the World Was Ending, I guess they started seeing each other. But it's just crazy that my response was with both of them, but for separate things. And then I just clued in again. I'm like, wait, they're a couple. Get them both in the room and we can just kill two birds one stone.
Yeah, why not? After their little like brunch date, you know?
Yeah.
Because I'm more on the drama side, like if people are causing a lot of crap and they're in the headlines or there's cheating scandals, like, yeah, you know, I'm gonna know about that. But like,
yeah,
people keep it low key, gotta support them from afar, and I don't bother them there. Like, good for them. Thanks for that piece of information. I'll take that with me going forward. I'm sure we'll hear more music from the two of them together then in that case. And maybe you as well. Little writing camp, something going on like that.
Yeah.
You never know.
Manifesting.
Speaking of collaborations, I do want to chat also about Every Time You Leave with I Prevail. That song blew the hell up in 2020. I think now, I don't even know how many streams it has on Spotify. I think it was over 20 million, which is insane. It's insane. Yeah. And when you did that collaboration, were you thinking, like, in the studio or when you first heard it, were you thinking, like, this is going to be a smash hit, like, people are going to love this, it's going to blow up? Or were you like, yeah, this is a good track, like, we'll see what happens?
I had no idea what was going to happen. I think my initial impression was closer to the second thing you said, in that I'm like, yeah, this is it's a good song, we'll see what happens. But one of the main reasons I decided to do that collab was because I was actually myself a huge I Prevail fan. Like, when I was 14, I started going to punk and metal shows with my older brother. So I have a very special place in my heart for that kind of music. And when Brian, the lead singer, reached out to me, he sent me the song. And I remember I was in Turks and Caicos at the time on vacation. And I forwarded to my manager and I was like, hey, I want to do this. And he's just like, what? Like, this is so out of your lane. I'm like, no. Like, I'm doing this. Like, this, I'm not asking your permission. I'm telling you I'm doing this, because I think my 16-year-old self was like freaking out. And I also thought the song was great. So I didn't know it was going to blow up the way it did. I didn't know it was going to become like top 5 alt radio here in America. It just goes to show that, you know, you don't have to stay in one musical genre, one lane. And I think there's nothing wrong with taking risks, switching it up and trying something new. So, yeah, my heart is happy with that decision.
I think it's funny because I always find myself bringing this up during interviews, but like the whole like put an artist in a box, that's what I like to call it, like put an artist in a box syndrome is kind of disappearing.
Yeah.
You can do whatever the hell you want right now. And that has to stay this way, because if it changes, I will be so upset, as well as everyone else, artists and listeners included, because you just hear the craziest collaborations now and they are amazing. Like, at first you hear the two names together and you're like, what the hell is that? And then once you hear the song, it blows up, or it's just like the greatest thing ever. And so I'm just happy that genres are kind of disappearing, or like the fact that you have to stay within your genre or whatever the hell. There's no point in it, and you're limiting yourself creatively. So that's an amazing backstory to that song. And obviously it has done so well and just proves that you can do whatever you want as an artist, and you should just like experiment with your sound.
Totally.
Yeah. I mean, I guess as like a last question, people who have found your music in the past like year or so, obviously they've probably heard the EP, the singles and collaborations. But I know you have this bigger body of work coming, and we're going to leave it at that. But other than that, what's next? Like, are you planning on doing music videos? Are there any performances in the future? Because I know that LA is opening up, I think, like for performances at 2,500 capacity. So what's on the horizon?
I actually have, I'm doing a live stream on May 1st, but I don't know if I should even broadcast that because it might be a closed thing for this college expo in Canada. But besides that, I actually just shot a music video last weekend for my, partially for my birthday, and partially is like my birthday party. So I basically threw this crazy party and also shot a music video all in one. And that's for one of my upcoming new singles that I've kind of been teasing here and there. So if people go to my TikTok, I did put a little piece of the chorus on there and people are kind of freaking out. It's one of the songs I'm most excited about. But beyond that, I have a full plan for five other singles of mine with video treatments that I've either created all by myself or I've created with my creative director. But I think people should really just get ready for an amazing batch of new music with some pretty incredible visuals. You know, it's always been important to me to not only tell a story through words and poetry and melody, but to accompany it with, you know, something that people can watch and connect to on a visual level. It's hard to say about touring, you know, I'm still waiting myself to hear when things are fully going to open up. Man, I mean, if it doesn't start by this fall, it's for sure going to be ramping up by 2022. So when we get ready and get there, I will be ready to go.
No, like if it doesn't start this fall, it's over. So
like, I hope they fix it. Even like not just me playing shows, but like I want to go see concerts. Like I want to go see live shows again. I miss it so much.
Yeah, it's pretty sad at this point. Like I was on vacation last week and there was a great singer, but you know, she's not like putting out albums. She's just like a jazz bar singer.
Yeah.
And she's performing at this jazz bar. The whole place is freaking lit. Like she's just doing cover songs and everyone's like jumping around and so happy. And I'm like, dude, this is when you know it's bad. Cause like no shame on her. She has an amazing voice and she could definitely be the next, like, I don't know, whoever she wants to be. But like she was singing a cover of Dance Monkey, which like, no offense, but like that song has kind of turned into the Call Me Maybe for me that it has everybody else.
I can't stand that song.
And we're all like singing it and like drinking and dancing around. And I'm like, dude, I miss concerts so much. Like I just started dying laughing because I'm like, this is not how I imagine to be getting lit or having fun. It's weird.
It's supposed to show that when concerts and shows of any kind do start up again, like the crowds are going to be wild. The energy is going to be probably unparalleled. So, I mean, I'm banking on that. I can't wait for that. Until then, I'm just going to keep writing. That's all I can do.
You just got to look forward to it and get ready, everybody. I don't know if we got to do like jumping jacks or what's happening, but anything to make this time go by quicker. And just like, we got to get our energy levels up because if Dance Monkey can get me off my feet, I really think that anything can at this point.
Agreed.
No shade there. It's just overplayed. Yeah. And that's about all I have for today. But thank you so much for coming on. That's the Tea with Alessandra G and chatting with me and telling everybody about, you know, the music that you have released, the music that you have coming out soon, and just what we can expect from you in 2021/2022, depending on how this chaos ends.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for tuning in to another segment of Friday Features on That's the Tea with Alessandra G. Huge thank you and shout out to Delaney for coming and chatting about everything from The Bachelor to TikTok to, of course, her new music and so much more. Keep up to date with Delaney by following her on socials and, of course, streaming platforms. Well, that's all for now, guys. Stay safe out there, friends, and wash your damn hands.
existence.